I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. That's how Paul begins Romans chapter 9. If you've been in regular in worship over this summer, we've been walking through the book of Romans in the epistle reading. And if you hadn't noticed that until now, that's fine. It's okay. All right. But since about the second Sunday in June, all of the epistle readings in the life of the church have been from the book of Romans. Now, I know you're studying Romans also. Is that Tuesday night, Caleb? So Tuesday night, if you want to know more about Romans, come Tuesday night. Martin Luther said this about the letter to the Romans. Quote, "This epistle is really the chief part of the New Testament and is truly the purest gospel. It is worthy not only that every Christian should know it word for word by heart, but also that he should occupy himself with it every day as the daily bread of the soul. We can never read it or ponder over it too much, for the more we deal with it, the more precious it becomes and the better it tastes." Now, I don't know about you, I don't have all the words of the letter to the Romans memorized, but I've studied it quite a bit. And it seems like every time I read through the book of Romans, I find new gems. I find new things coming out. Now, if you don't really remember the case, let me give you a thumbnail of where we're at so far. So far, Paul has laid out the case that humanity, that's you and me, we are filled with sin. We cannot free ourselves. Paul's also testified to the answer of the problem of sin, and that's in the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And now, in this last part of the letter, he appeals to the readers, that his words are not some fanciful delusion or some hope-filled desire. Paul says, "I'm speaking the truth." His account of Jesus, who died and who rose again, who is filled with grace and mercy, and it's true. All of it. Now, some of you know that I am a huge Star Wars fan, and in the Star Wars film, the original one, now known as Episode 4, A New Hope, there's a character, it's Han Solo, and he has a conversation with Luke Skywalker about this all-encompassing force, and he says this, "Kid, I've flown from one side of this galaxy to the other. I've seen a lot of strange stuff, but I've never seen anything to make me believe that there's one all-powerful force controlling everything, because no mystical energy field controls my destiny. It's all a lot of simple tricks and nonsense." A lot of people say the same about Jesus, don't they? Think it's a bunch of tricks and nonsense, that they've gone from sea to shining sea, or maybe around the world. They don't see any evidence for God. Now, I find it interesting in the newer Star Wars movies. I know they're not very high on a lot of people's list, but Episode 7, called The Force Awakens, there's an interesting scene that happens as Han Solo is a lot older now. He's seen a lot more things, and he has a conversation with some of the other characters, and they talk about the Force and all of these things, and Han Solo says in his older years, he goes, "The crazy thing is, it's true. All of it. It's true." Now, I realize this is Hollywood movie and not reality. And while I may invoke the willing suspension of disbelief as I take my lightsaber that's on my shelf at home and fire it up and walk around the house to maybe show off to my kids, I realize it's just a movie. However, we do live in a world that struggles with the truth. You don't have to look too far to find stories of people wanting to fact check everything, or that's fake news. And it seems that everybody wants to believe in their own thing. Well, that's your truth. It's not my truth. And somehow we've taken something that is truth and said that it's relative. What actually makes no sense. If it's relative, it can't be true necessarily. Richard Whately, the Archbishop of Dublin in the late 19th century, once wrote, "Everyone wishes to have truth on his side, but not everyone wishes to be on the side of truth." Let me say that again. Everyone wishes to have truth on his side, but not everyone wishes to be on the side of truth. And here in his letter to the Romans, Paul pauses and he makes his plea. "I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying." It's like he could almost hear the Romans saying, "I'm not sure about what you're saying here, Paul." But he goes, "Listen, I'm not making it up. This is true." So let me ask you, do you believe it? All the time? Every day? Or maybe you may say the other way. How often are you telling the truth? Do you tell the truth all the time? I don't. It is said that truth cannot be told without words, but lies can be told in silence. While you may spout words or phrases or ideas that are truthful, you, like the rest of humanity, have a problem with truth. That begs a greater question here. What's Paul talking about when he wrote, "I'm speaking the truth"? Well, you got to flip back just a little bit. One of the keys to understanding Scripture is you got to understand the context of where this verse is. And Paul has been leading up to this point quite a bit. From chapter 1, he writes, "God's anger is revealed from the heavens against even ungodly and immoral things that people do as they try to suppress the truth by their immoral living." And a few verses later, "These people have exchanged God's truth for a lie. They have become ungodly and serve what is created rather than the Creator." Paul says in chapter 2 of Romans, "But he will bring anger and fury on those who in selfish pride refuse to believe the truth and follow what is wrong." And from chapter 3, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And from chapter 6, "The wages of sin is death." And from chapter 7, "What miserable people we are." So you want the truth? You want the truth today? Do you think you're entitled to an answer? Well, in the words of Colonel Nathan Jessup, played by Jack Nicholson in the movie A Few Good Men, "You can't handle the truth. You can't, because you are a poor, miserable sinner, and there's nothing you can do about it." That's the truth. That's who you are. You've tried to hide it. You've tried to deny it. You've tried to fix it. You've tried to forget about it. But you're not a truth teller. You use your words to try to get out of trouble, but you find yourself in a web of lies. The inconvenient truth is that you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what is your punishment? Well, the truth is death. But Paul does not leave us without hope. He does not abandon you to the grave. What does Paul do? He points to Christ. He points to Jesus. So if you're troubled by your sin, if you're uncomfortable by being called a liar, a non-truth teller, hear the words of Christ himself from the Gospel of John. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you will be where I am. And you know the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, and you probably know this, right? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You see, Jesus is the truth that Paul is talking about. It's not a concept or an idea. It's a person. And while you can't handle the truth, the truth can handle you. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, can handle your sin, can handle your sorrow, can handle your doubt, can handle your disease, can handle your fears, your failures. And he's handled them all by having his hands nailed to the cross so that you might be his. As he stretched out his arms and he died in your place, he handled all of your sin. There is only one truth, one reality. That's the truth embodied in Jesus, your Savior. As the Word from eternity, he created all that we see. As the one sent from the Father, he came to restore the truth of God's love and salvation for you. As the way, the truth, and the life, he has come to bring you into God's kingdom and to send you his Holy Spirit to keep you in his way. For in Christ you are forgiven. And friends, that is the truth. Listen to the truth that Paul tells at the end of chapter 8. This is from last week's lesson, but I think it's really important for us to hear again. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That same Christ, after 3 days being buried, rose again. That's the truth. He ascended back into the Father. That's the truth. He sent his Holy Spirit to be with you. That's the truth. And he sends preachers among you so that you might hear these words: you are forgiven and free on account of Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And in that truth you find freedom, freedom from the shackles of sin, freedom in Christ alone. For he is the truth that handles you, and in him you have life. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, now and forever. Amen.